Bibles to another scripture. Turn to the end of Proverbs, okay? The end of Proverbs, chapter 31, verse 10. John's going, what's he doing there? He's just supposed to go up there and read. Something's developed, John. Chapter 31, verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? Some translations say, oh, good wife, who can find? And then it goes on in the rest of this chapter to point out all the characteristics of a good or noble wife. Okay? And John Osgood, this morning, had said he would like to recognize his wonderful wife for all that she has done as they celebrate this morning 46 years of marriage. So we congratulate you. We just wanted to, and I would think in verse 29, John, this is what you would say to her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. We wish you all both congratulations and many, many more years to come. Now, if we'll go over to Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we have learned from your word that the beginning of knowledge begins with the fear, the love, the respect of you. And from that knowledge of you and the knowledge of your word will grow wisdom. May we look to you this morning as the giver of every gift. But as we look this morning, Lord, we would look to increase our wisdom. And thank you for John in his ministry this morning and what you have laid on his heart. May you use your words of your scripture in his words as he expounds upon it, that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray it in his name. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. And thanks to the worship team for wonderful music this morning. Well, we are going to be in Psalm 90 this morning. So if you haven't opened up your Bible yet, please do so. You can try parting your Bible almost directly in half. That almost gets you to Psalm 90 every time, or at least very close. But when Pastor Craig asked me to speak for him a couple months ago, my initial thought was, no, I don't want to do it. I have a hard time of coming up with something to speak about. There's so many wonderful things that you can speak on, so it's hard to just pick one, and I always worry about how well it's going to go over. Are they going to learn from it? And I have to come back and recognize that it's not my job for you to learn from it. My job is to go through it, and the Holy Spirit does that work. So I said yes, and he gave me enough notice that I couldn't even say no because it was not enough notice. So I think he's learning how to handle me a little bit more as we go. But I'm glad that he got to have some time away, go to his daughter's graduation. I'll be just as happy for him to come back. With two services, I have a new appreciation for just how much goes on in the mornings on Sunday morning. But as I was thinking about what to speak about, the Lord brought to my mind Psalm 90, and I've spent time in the past going through this chapter, and so as I thought on it, I thought it'd be a good chapter to go over for a couple different reasons. The first reason is Pastor Craig has been going through the Psalms anyway for worship service, so it tied in very nicely to what he's doing, and hopefully it's far enough in advance, or far enough away that I'm not going to be stealing any of his thunder when he gets to Psalm 90. Maybe by that point you would have forgotten it anyway. But the second reason that I picked this chapter is at the time we were still going through the Proverbs with Jim and picking apart those Proverbs and the simple little truths that are so impactful and beneficial to our lives. And this psalm kind of fit into almost the proverb type category as well. So here we are. But one of the things that I've learned about life, and especially the Christian life, is that God does not want me to live my life in a way where I just flip through the pages of the calendar. Or if you use your cell phone for your calendar now, He doesn't want us just to scroll through the calendar, just getting through Monday and through Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, and back to a new week. It's not His intention for us to live life today just so that we can get to tomorrow. Our goal is to not see how quickly Friday can come and then be excited because that means it's the weekend. And then when Monday rolls around, we're all depressed again because Friday is now four more days away. That's not what He's looking for in our lives. And so we shouldn't be looking for that either. And we shouldn't be content in just doing that. But what God does want, first and foremost, is for us to know Him. Not to know about Him or of Him or to be able just to rattle off certain facts about Him, but He wants us to know Him who is the one who is our Creator. To know Him as our Savior, the one who created us in His image and the one who died in our place on the cross of Calvary. And once we've come to know Him as our Creator and our Savior, then He desires to take that relationship further and for us to know Him as Father. He desires that intimate relational status, that the constant commune, the kind of relationship where we run to Him and we seek Him and we hide in Him, and when necessary we cry out to Him, Abba Father, as Paul puts it in Galatians. God desires this for all mankind. And so if we're going to have that kind of relationship, then one of the key factors is purpose. You don't have a quality relationship by sitting back and waiting for that relationship to become something of quality, something of significance. You don't sit back and wait for a relationship to become exciting or beneficial or wait for it to be fruitful. If you want to have that kind of relationship, you have to work for it. I can't sit back and not do anything and expect to have an incredible relationship with my kids. I have to invest time into them. I have to invest time into learning what makes them laugh, what makes them cry, what brings joy to them, what makes them angry. For Parker, I've learned that I have to invest one-on-one time with Parker. That is what really gets him connected. He loves the group activities when we all get together and we can do things. But if I can set aside Parker time and stay up late after everybody's gone to bed and play video games or have just a Nerf war with him, that's really what Parker enjoys. And I've learned that about him. For the girls, Ryan and Dylan, it's a little bit different. Fortunately, I haven't had to play dress up. They've spared me from that, but there's been a lot of tea parties and a lot of bedtime stories and singing them songs before bed and really just cuddle time. They're just the quiet, don't move, let's just snuggle. That's what really how they connect. But I wouldn't have that relationship with my kids unless I was purposeful to learn and grow and pursue that relationship. And so the same thing is with our Father. And while our relationship with our Creator while we're here on earth is important and we want to be purposeful to maintain that relationship and not have anything that hinders that relationship, it's our relationship with Him for eternity that we are here to prepare for. Jesus said in John 6, He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And so if He is preparing a place for us, we should be preparing to be with Him. And so just like grade school and junior high and high school, they all are equipping and they prepare us for adulthood. What's life beyond those doors? How do we handle this situation? What are we going to do here? Our life then is our school to prepare us for an eternity with God. And without Him as our teacher, we can't learn our lessons. And without Him as our guide, we cannot pass our tests. And so that's the subject this morning, the school of life. And what we'll be looking at is ways to live our life on purpose in preparation for an eternity with God. So if we're going to live life with purpose, if we're going to prepare for that eternity, one of the things we need to do is manage our time. And time management is an area that in my personal life, I know I could do much, much, much better in. I am such a procrastinator. I always think that I have much more time. I see people giving the elbow or smiling. I always think that I have much more time to do something than I really do. And this passage of Scripture, this lesson this morning, is probably more for me than it is anyone else here. But sometimes procrastinating on a project has produced some really good results for me. And the reason why it produced good results is because I finally realized, okay, the deadline is coming up. And so I locked myself in the room. Nobody was allowed to talk to me. I just focused, didn't take my head up for, 2 days straight type of thing. Got what I needed done, and it went over well. Other times that I procrastinated and ended up having good results, it wasn't because I focused on the task at hand so hard, but it was because I was so out of time that I had to kind of throw my hands in the air and say, Jesus, take the wheel, because I have nothing that I can bring to this situation. And by his mercy and his grace, it turned out well. But I don't think that either one of those extremes is healthy. I don't think either one of those extremes is what God intended for our time. God's intention was not for us to bury our noses in life and just focus hard on figuring life out without looking up to Him and looking for His guidance and His help. And neither was it for us to be just kind of flaky and wishy-washy and go through life just hoping that everything is going to turn out right. There's a balance there of putting in our time and our efforts, and committing that time and our efforts to Him, trusting that He will use our diligence to bring about the results that He desires. You see, it's all about Him. We submit our time and our efforts to Him. We trust that He will use our diligence to bring about the results that He desires, and it's all for His glory. So how do we find that balance? How do we effectively use our time as we prepare for an eternity with Him? Well, that's where our passage of Scripture comes in this morning. From Psalm 90, we're going to look at five steps or five keys for effective time management. And as you look at Psalm 90, the summation of the chapter is kind of found in verse 12. That's why it was our Scripture reading. Moses is believed to be the author of this chapter, and the one thing that we know about Moses is that he was a very informed guy. He was very well educated. Acts 7:22 says, Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. So Moses was this very well educated individual, but the lessons that he learned walking with God were far more important than what he could have ever learned from the Egyptians. And it's those lessons that are reflected in this chapter, in Psalm 90. And so I encourage you to read Psalm 90 on your own sometime, because we're not going to get through the entire chapter. We're going to focus in on verse 12, and we're going to pull from some of the surrounding verses. But I'm going to read verse 12, and Moses is addressing God in this chapter. So as I read verse 12, I'm going to put the word Lord in front of the verse so that it reads this way. So Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. So, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. And so our first key to managing our time wisely is respect. Respect for the Lord. When it comes to time management, there are just some individuals that just do it better than others. They're just naturally gifted that way. There are some very well-organized individuals out there. They have their checklists out, and as items get done, they put a check next to them. There's the check. They've got their paperwork so neatly organized, and everything on their desk every minute of the day has its proper place. They're just organized people, and it becomes all about the organization and the tasks being completed. But remember, that's not what the Lord has in mind for us, just completing tasks to get through each day. You can be the most organized person in the world, but if you don't have respect for the Lord, then you're really not using your time wisely for Him. So Moses, he opens this chapter with the word Lord, capital L, lowercase O-R-D. So Moses is not addressing God by his name, but rather by his title, Elohim, God of power and creation, saying that he was their dwelling place in all generations. See, Moses knew what it meant for God to be his dwelling place. For most of his life, Moses, he was somewhat settled in his life. He spent a good portion of time in Egypt doing the things the Egyptians do, learning from them, and then he spent a good portion of time in Midian. But then he spent 40 years leading a group of complainers who more often than not did not appreciate him, did not appreciate his leadership. But in all those years, they camped in 42 different places. So think about that for a second. In 40 years, Moses and the Israelites encamped in 42 different places. Being in real estate, I've heard stories, and they almost come across as horror stories sometime, where people have told me, you know, they've moved 15 times in 10 years. And that's not exciting for me at all. Brooke and I have moved twice in 7 years, and we can be done moving for now. I mean, we just don't want to even do that. But 42 places in 40 years. Now, granted, they didn't have as much to pick up and move with them, but that's more than one move a year on average for Moses and the Israelites. And it was slow moving. It was done without trucks and trailers and done in all sorts of different weather. But in all those times, in all those different places, Moses remained in the Lord. No matter where Moses lived, God was always his home. Moses lived in the Lord, and he was his dwelling place. So Moses recognized God for being the creator, for being his dwelling place, and he shows his respect to him by addressing him that way. So ask yourself a question this morning. Is the Lord your dwelling place? In Acts 17:28, speaking of our Lord, Paul says, "For it's in him that we live. It is in him that we even move, and it's in him that we exist." You see the respect there? That we are nothing outside of our Creator. We sang it in our song this morning. Who am I? There's nothing good in us. Everything that we are is because of our Creator. He is our dwelling place. So we need to start off by giving our respect to the Lord. It's the very foundation of managing our time wisely, the time that He has graciously given to us. Because really, when you think about it, our time is something that we have absolutely no guarantee of. In James chapter 4, verse 14, he says, "Yet do you not know what your life will be like tomorrow? Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." So not only is our time not guaranteed to us, but James tells us that it's brief, it's momentary, it's a vapor in the wind, it's here today, and it's gone tomorrow. And James here, he's making this contrast because the people he was talking to, he says that they were going about life this way. They're assuming that tomorrow would come. They're assuming that next week was already there. And he's, what he says about this is this kind of thinking was arrogant. It was disrespectful. It was evil. So how do we show respect when we know our time is not guaranteed? Well, James goes on to tell us, and he says, instead of thinking that tomorrow is just going to come, instead of thinking next week you're going to be on vacation and enjoying it, he says, instead, you ought to say, let me find where I was. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. Now, the this and that is of really no importance. The important part is to recognize the respect for the Lord, the one who holds all things together. To acknowledge that if the Lord wills, we will see tomorrow. We will see next week. Showing him the respect he deserves because it's only if he wills it, that we will see tomorrow. So we need to start there. We need to start with respect. Life is lived through our Creator. He is our dwelling place. And then secondly this morning, our second key is responsibility. Not only do we need to have respect for our Creator, but we also need to take responsibility for how we are living our lives. Part of managing our time wisely and living in such a way that is pleasing to the Lord is to recognize that we don't know it all. We don't have it all together. Let's go back to verse 12. Moses says, Lord, teach us. Lord, teach us. Now remember, Moses was this very well-educated guy, and yet he says, teach us. Moses recognized that he needed to continue to learn, and so should we. And so a couple of ideas come out of these two words, teach us. We see the recognition of need, number one, and then we see the humility to receive. Roger, if I were to walk up to you and ask you to teach me how to write music, I would be acknowledging that you know something that I don't, right? Yeah, so I'm recognizing that I have a need, and Roger has the information to help me get that need. So it portrays the recognition of need. So do you want to know why men don't stop and ask for directions? It's because we have to recognize a need. And men don't want to need anything. We've got it all. Don't give me those tools. I've got the tools that I need. That's what how we go. We would have to own the fact that we need something. But not only does teach us portray the idea that we need something, but it also portrays the idea of humility to receive. When I finally pull the car over and ask someone for directions where I'd like to go, not only am I recognizing that there is a source of that information that is not myself, but I'm also recognizing that I'm responsible to learn that new information. I didn't pull over and wait for somebody to come running over and just tell me everything I needed to know and exactly how I needed to do it. I acknowledged my need and my responsibility to learn and sought out the information. And so we're responsible to learn how to manage our time here on earth, and who is our source? God, our Creator. Moses says, Lord, teach us. So Moses goes on in verse 3 and 4 to compare how we see time and how God views time. And he says, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. See, God does not live in the same time economy that we live in. He's not limited by time. And while time may seem to last long for us, it's just flying by for God, like a watch in the night. And it's almost as though God slowed down time so that we would take note and learn. Lord, teach us. That is our second point, responsibility. And track with me in verse 12. Lord was respect. Teach us is responsibility. And now we see to number. To number is to reflect. Our third point this morning, to reflect. It's hard to improve our time management. It's hard to improve on anything without assessment, without reflection. Being willing to number our days is the idea of measuring our days, not measuring them to see how long they've been, but measure them in the sense of quality, to reflect on them. How can we improve? Let's look at verse 9. Moses says, for all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. What is Moses saying here when he says we end like a sigh? I think the point that he's getting at is we don't usually finish life on the upswing. Just when we get enough wisdom to live well, just when we think we've got the right answers to pass on, it's time to go. Right? Life kind of ends like a sigh. But we are to number our days, reflect on them. And then verse 10 reminds us that we only get so much time to live for God. Moses says the years of our life are 70, or even by reason 80. And so we only have this limited time that God knows. Only so much time that we are given to live life for Him. So how do we reflect on our life? Well, consider three things, if you will, in reflection, in assessment. We look back. In every person's life, there needs to be regular intervals of looking back. Not that we want to look back and live in the past, but because we can learn from our past. Today is May 7th, 2017, and if you look back to last year, May 7th, 2016, how did you live your life for God in this last year? What did God teach you? What amazing things did He do in your life? What prayers did He answer for you? What challenges did you face, and how did you deal with those challenges? Did you take them before God? Did you try to deal with them yourself? See, looking back is for assessment. And then secondly, we look up. Those little challenges that we faced, those big challenges that we faced, take them before God. The area that I failed in last week, I need to take that before God today and say, Lord, help me not to make this mistake again. So we look back and then we look up, and then thirdly, we look ahead. Now, don't spend too much time looking ahead, because you can get kind of lost in looking ahead and maybe start to worry and panic about things, and that's not healthy. But take a little time to see if you see an obstacle that's upcoming. Start praying for that obstacle now. Take a little time to see if there's an opportunity in the next few days, an opportunity to share Christ with somebody, an opportunity to help. Start praying for those opportunities. Take some time to reflect. We look back, we look up, and then we look ahead. And this doesn't have to be a yearly reflection. It's hard to remember everything that has happened in a year, but maybe it's a weekly reflection. Or if you're like me and my memory is short because life is hectic and crazy and I can barely remember 2 days ago, maybe it's a daily reflection. First thing in the morning, Lord, where did I fail yesterday that I need to protect myself today? Turn it over to the Lord. You see, every single day that we have matters. Not because our days are limited, but because they're a gift to us from God. Our Creator has gifted us every single day that we have, and so we need to live that day on purpose. So we start off with respect and responsibility, reflection, and then fourthly, rejoice. Our fourth key in this set is to rejoice. Lord, teach us to number our days. If every single day matters, then we are to be thankful for every morning we get out of bed. Now, I'm not asking you to be thankful that you have to wake up because the alarm clock is going off, but are you thankful that you have a new morning, a brand new morning to get up and serve the Lord? I love my sleep, so sometimes it's harder to get out of bed than others. It's hard to be thankful for that alarm clock that is going off and just really annoying me. But the fact is, it's another morning that God has created. He's gifted me that day. And so we are to rejoice in the days God has given to us. And I think this key here is very, very crucial. So very important. Let's look at verse 13. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? A key to rejoicing in our days is longing for the Lord. Any amount of time that I have to spend away from my family, I experience this longing. Even if it's just for a couple days at the men's retreat, it's nice to go and be with the men and do those things, but as time goes on, I start to miss my family. It's worse when they're the ones that go away and I'm at the house by myself, because they should be here and they're not. But even extra long days at work, I can start to experience this longing for them. And then when I finally get to see them, I'm just happy. I get to rejoice in that. Well, it should be the same thing for our Lord. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? The Lord is coming back for us someday. We don't know when, but we should be waiting for that day with that kind of anticipation. Rejoicing in the fact that every single day that goes by just gets us one day closer to the day that He comes back for us. Then verse 14 goes on to say, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. God does not want us to rejoice just on Friday because the weekend's here. He doesn't want us to just rejoice in this day because we had a promotion. God wants us to rejoice all our days. As I mentioned before, this is a very crucial step. With so many things in our world that turn our focus away from Jesus and to the trials and the tribulations and the concerns, it's hard sometimes to rejoice. I find it a little contagious, though, when you see someone in the midst of trials that will continue to rejoice in the Lord. Have you guys experienced that? Just praying with or for Elaine Baber, she has such a good attitude. She's just genuinely thankful that she just is where she is, and it's not worse. And she's just going through so many hard things. My father-in-law, Brad, has this little phrase that he likes to respond to people with when they ask him, "Hey, Brad, how you doing?" Does anybody know his comment? Ron knows it. Almost always, like, I don't know, 9 out of 10 times you ask Brad, "How's it going?" He'll respond with, "Never had a bad day." And he's full of it. You know he's lying because he smirks. And but with just that little smirk, with just the little comment that he makes, Brad kind of shrugs off the true worries. He doesn't get into the things that are really upsetting him for that day. And it's contagious on the other side. You said, "Okay, yeah, I get it. It's been a bad day, but we're not going to go there. We're going to talk about happier things." So it almost makes you shouldn't be dwelling on our troubles. Obviously, we should be rejoicing that God has given us a new day to figure them out. The Christian, honestly, should be the happiest person in the world. Every day we are given is a new day to grow in the mercies of God. Every day we get to stand on and we get to claim the promises that God has made. Every day we get to rejoice because we aren't here just getting through today so we can get to tomorrow. We're preparing for an eternity with Him. And when we keep focused on that, keep our eyes on Him, that's when we can have true joy. So rejoicing, our fourth key. And then lastly this morning, our fifth key is reset. Lord, teach us to number our days so that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. How desperately we need a heart of wisdom to know what to do and when to do it and how to do it. This was Moses' prayer, a man of God who dwelled with God prays for a heart of wisdom. This is an action word, the word wisdom. It's not to know something, it's to do something. It's the idea of being skilled in daily living and having the wisdom not just to know what to do, but then to do it. To live our lives in a way that the choices we make reflect the God that we serve. This kind of wisdom is not something that comes naturally, and that's why Moses is here praying for it. And we can be praying for it also, and we should be praying for it. Verse 12 of chapter 90 here in the Psalms is a great prayer for all of us. Lord, teach me to number my days, that I may present to you a heart of wisdom. A few verses further into the passage, verse 17 says, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us." I love that verse. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. The word favor there gives this idea of God's kind and merciful disposition towards His people. And it's where we get our fourth key from, reset. Aren't you glad that you get to reset? Aren't you glad that as God looks at you and He assesses the way that you've lived and managed your day to day, that you have the opportunity to reset, to start over, to begin again? You see, the sad thing is that we are all human and rarely do we get things right the first time. But with every day that God gifts us, we get to start fresh and strive again to live the way that God would have us to live, honoring Him with every opportunity, a new day to respect Him, to be responsible to Him, to reflect. Aren't you glad for that? I don't know this. Do we have any Anna Green Gables fans in here? not very many. I didn't know this. I was told this by my wife, but apparently in the Anna Green Gables movie, there's the two are having a dialogue, and she says something to the effect of, well, don't worry about tomorrow. It's not...
Tomorrow
is fresh with no mistakes in it. And it's a good way to look at it is we get to reset. We get to start a day that hasn't been messed up. So how are we going to ask God to help us do that? I'm very thankful for the fact that we have this fifth key, this reset. I'm so thankful that I don't have to carry my mistakes and my failures and all my shortcomings forward with me into tomorrow. Tomorrow's a fresh day. I can learn from my mistakes from yesterday, leave them in the past, and grow from them today. The opportunity to reset. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this is how we can prepare. These five steps. These five steps in our school of life help us to maintain our relationship with God while we're here on earth, but also to prepare for an eternity with Him. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this passage of Scripture, Lord, for the words that come out of these few short verses, Lord. We didn't even spend that much time or dig into all these verses, Father, but so much comes out that is just can be applied to our lives, Father. Just, Father, I pray that we would be people that start off with respect, Father, that acknowledge You as our Creator, the one who gives us our time, the one who can take it away. Father, we've got no guarantee, Father, but we trust You in that. Father, help us to be responsible for the time that You've given us, that we wouldn't waste it, that we would take it upon ourselves to seek it out, the information that we need, to grow in You. Father, to reflect. Again, just to assess and grow and improve in our walk with You. And Father, to be rejoiceful. We need so much more joy in this world. Father, I pray that every one of us would just be just a shining light in the dark world that we live in, just rejoicing, remembering that, Father, You've got it all under control. And then, Father, to reset when the time is needed. Not to dwell on the mistakes, but, Father, to definitely take them to You. Ask Your forgiveness for those mistakes. Ask for Your guidance and Your strength to improve on them. Father, I just ask now that You would dismiss us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.